Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Joining me this morning to talk about the start of the spring semester here at San Juan College, which begins tomorrow, Dr. Tony Hopper-Pendergrass is here, the president of San Juan College. Dr. Pendergrass, welcome back to KSJE.
Thank you, Scott.
Good to have you with us. And let's talk about the semester. Of course, last week was convocation, and you shared a lot of important information about the college and where things are headed and how things are looking. I guess first and foremost, folks are concerned with COVID-19 and all those precautions and things. The college is planning to have face-to-face classes again this spring, correct?
Yes, that's correct, Scott.
Very good. And, of course, there's a lot of masking requirements and things like that that students and staff all follow, and that's still the case for the spring.
Absolutely. We're taking extra precautions to make sure everyone's safe. In fact, we've ordered 20,000 N95 and KN95 masks for employees to wear.
Okay.
Indoors.
Got you. And that's some of the newer recommendations coming out from the federal government about it.
Yes. As many of the listeners know, that has been a recommendation for their 95% effective, and that's what's being recommended.
Very good. And the last semester, it was, again, with the return of face-to-face classes, which I think a lot of students and faculty and adjuncts were happy to see. And that went fairly smoothly, did it not, with the policies the college has in place?
Yes. Absolutely, and I'd like to thank all of our employees that worked really closely with our students, because if they did have their schedules disrupted, you know, due to COVID, I think everyone has been very flexible to try and work with them.
Right, and I think the students appreciated it too, to be able to still maybe join class remotely or get their assignments remotely if they had to quarantine or whatever and couldn't be back in the classroom for 10 days or so.
Yes.
So that worked out well. So here we go with the spring semester, and it's very exciting. As I mentioned, you were at convocation and talking a little bit about some new initiatives, and part of that were COVID-related as well, in that a lot of students maybe that got behind, maybe dropped out or stopped coming to class, and so there's something that the college is working on about redo in 22.
Yes, that's correct, Scott. So we visited with our deans and the president's cabinet and the faculty and asked them how things were going. And they were concerned that a lot of students had had some pretty serious COVID disruptions during the semester and may not have successfully completed the semester. So what we came up with is the Redo in 22 campaign. And what we've done is we've contacted all of our students via email, and also we're calling them as well to indicate if they've earned a D, F, or X grade, they can return in the spring semester and we'll pay their tuition and their general fee from our federal funding that we received, so they can try again to be successful. We're also working with the Achievement Center, and they will have a coach that meets with them a couple times a month, and also make sure that they meet with tutors, which are free, but a couple times a month as well, to make sure that they're successful this time. We learned that the previous fall to spring,
2020 to 2021.
Yes,
right?
That's correct. 53% of the students that earned a DF or X grade did not return. So,
and that's several hundreds, 700 plus students.
Yes, absolutely. And we don't want to lose our students. We want them to be successful. We want them to hit the finish line and graduate and be placed in good jobs in our community. So this is just an extra measure that we're taking to make sure that they know that we care. And, you know, a lot of our lives, almost everyone's life, has been disrupted by COVID. So if they earned a DF or X, they can come back, fill out a short waiver form and have their courses paid for that they were not successful in the fall.
Got you. And are there other colleges and colleges doing this across the country, or is this somewhat unique to San Juan College?
I'm not aware of any other college doing this. This is something that we came up with to pilot and, you know, truly see if it's successful and it's something we need to continue.
Right. And just to go through the numbers a little bit more, as we mentioned, that's 740 some odd students that you're reaching out to. There's another, that was from 2020 to 2021. I imagine you're looking at that from the 2021 students as well from the fall?
Right. We know exactly who, which students earn those grades. And so there's about 1,323 students that were impacted from last fall.
Got you.
That we're reaching out to.
And the dollars to that are over $500,000.
Yes.
That's significant.
That's, you know, if every student takes advantage of it.
Sure.
But this was presented to our Board of Trustees, and they approved this measure to try and help our students.
That's a major investment in these students, I would say.
Yes, definitely.
And as you mentioned, the money is coming from some of the emergency relief monies that have come through just because of COVID, and so it really does kind of make sense to use them in this way to be able to help students whose lives were impacted by COVID to get them back into the classroom.
And that's exactly what those funds are for, so we don't have any concerns about utilizing, because you're supposed to use it for any ways that your instruction or what you're doing is disrupted by COVID. Well, this is directly, students' lives have been disrupted, so we're trying to help them.
Right. And so, as you mentioned, all students impacted should have already been contacted by the college. If by any chance someone wasn't, and they're hearing us this morning saying, hey, maybe I could take advantage of that, should they just call and see if they qualify for some of this?
Oh, yes. Yes, call or come in.
Okay.
Because classes start next Tuesday. Of course, we have late start and other courses that 8 week or 4 week, but a large portion of our courses start next Tuesday. So we'd appreciate it, or tomorrow.
We'd
appreciate it if they'd come in.
That's true. Very, very true. Well, I think it's, again, another great example of how the college is reaching out to these students and trying to help them when they may think, you know, I just couldn't make it happen. There was just too much COVID stuff going on and I had to drop out. And they thought that maybe their college careers were over. And here's the college saying, not over. We're going to help you and come back. And guess what? We're going to pay for your tuition and fees if you want to pick things back up again.
Right.
So very, very good. I imagine that'll get a lot of attention from some of your colleagues across the country maybe to see how this works.
I hope so. I hope it's successful.
Right.
But I've heard... anecdotally, I'll need to look at the data, but we heard that a lot of students are taking advantage of it.
That's excellent. Well, I would hope they would. And again, I imagine a lot of other schools will be looking at the data from this program to see how it's worked here and to see if they can make it work at their schools too. So we will see. The other thing you talked a lot about and was talked about by a guest speaker was the Caring Campus community. This is an initiative that's been underway for a couple of years, and it has some really interesting thoughts behind it and some really, I think, elegant solutions to being a caring campus, one of which was the simplicity of wearing a name tag of staff and faculty and teachers and how that just opens things up and someone who's lost or has a question can see that name tag and can ask a question or know that person is someone who may know the answer to whatever they're searching for. But that's just one small example of what we're talking about.
Yes, this is an initiative that we were one of a few colleges in the nation that are part of that's paid for through a grant so that we receive specialized training. But our employees have developed a plan using different strategies, both in the traditional environment and the virtual environment. And one of the simple examples that you mentioned is wearing name tags or ask me buttons. And then it really talks about how to provide high quality, warm referrals for our students in both environments, the traditional and virtual, and then really having good, solid connection events, especially during the first few weeks of class and then throughout their academic career here at San Juan College.
And that really does make a difference. And I guess maybe some of us, if we think back to when we went to school, and for some of us it's longer than others, but, you know, students maybe they're the first in their family to go to college. And so there's a lot going on there. And maybe they feel that they don't deserve to be there, or why are they there? And there's all these new things and new experiences, and the students are maybe a little shy about asking for help or introducing themselves to people or all these different things. And these types of things are designed to kind of break through some of that, aren't they?
Yes, to break down the barriers so they feel welcome and that they belong. And then this is a really good fit for them.
Right. And that in turn then adds to their hopeful success in their classes and things like that. If they feel a better fit and more comfortable and all those different things, they tend to do better in class, don't they?
Absolutely.
That's wonderful. And as we're seeing on the screen, there are specific things that you can do for traditional face-to-face encounters and also for virtual students as well.
Yes.
It doesn't have to just be an in-person situation.
Exactly.
And so we're seeing that. And this is something, and I think San Juan College, as I heard, we were the first in New Mexico to start this.
Yes, we are.
Now there's others that are following, but
I think Santa Fe has recently joined as well.
Got you. But we're moving forward with this. And there's different levels, aren't there, in this achievement of Caring Campus?
Yes. There's modules for professional and support staff, and then we'll talk about, I think, what our faculty are doing as well.
Right. Very good. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other things, too. The customer service is part of this as well, right? To
Yes.
engage with students and people coming to campus.
Yes. There's some course-level objectives that you can see on the screen as well, and that's just creating a culture of excellence and how to do those warm strategies and also applying this service excellence philosophy in both internal and external interactions.
Right. We hear that a lot from the tourism folks, that customer service is a big deal, too. So it just kind of drips down into all different areas,
yes.
Higher education as well.
Like you said, every level of the organization.
Right. For our radio audience, let me just read through some of these things that are
sure.
on the screen. But one is create and sustain a culture of customer service excellence, provide and strategize customer excellence with each interaction. Engage students with warm strategies in a habitual manner by each staff member, and apply the service excellence philosophy to internal and external interactions.
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about. And so again, and the idea being, this is part of a training that's done in other parts of the country as well that's shown really, really positive results.
Yes. And this course really was developed by the some teams here at the college and supported by our professional staff and support staff association.
Gotcha. Very, very good. Other objectives would be, again, the service excellence, the everything speaks. Explain what that means.
That's a philosophy that's kind of borrowed from Disneyland or Disney World, that even a piece of trash on the ground speaks about the culture at the college. And so that's something we're very proud of here at San Juan College, because we have a wonderful facilities, but everything we do speaks to our students and our guests that visit the college and their first impressions.
I see. And anyone who's been to Disney certainly realizes what kind of an experience you get, or they want you to get, when you're at Disney. And so that would make sense that this is all part of that overall impression.
Right.
Got it. Active listening. I tell my students that all the time in public speaking classes. It's not about speaking all the time. It's also about listening. And that's important, too.
Yes, we know that's important for every person in the world, is active listening.
Very true. Warm referrals, which we've talked about before, too, but not just telling someone, oh, just go down the hall, turn left, and you'll find it, but maybe actually
escorting
someone
them.
To their next destination of wherever they need to go, so they get there okay and know someone cares about where they're going.
Absolutely. Or if it's in a virtual environment, you call the person ahead of time and say, you know, I'm going to transfer you over, and they know your issue already, and they'll be visiting with you about this concern.
Got you. Very good. And behavioral detractors. What does that mean? Talk to us about that.
Just different things that individuals can do that detract from, you know, delivering a high quality experience.
Okay. All right. And the wow scenarios.
Well,
goes
you know,
without saying.
I'm a big advocate of that. You need to really impress upon and leave good memories for people of being impressive.
Right.
First class.
Okay.
Top notch.
Got it. Very good. My guest this morning, Dr. Toni Hopper-Pendergrass, is here with me. She is talking about, of course, the start of the spring semester here at San Juan College. Of course, the college is closed today for Martin Luther King Jr. Day, but tomorrow place will be hopping and busy, as always, with students coming and starting the spring semester for at least most of them, which are here for their 16-week classes. As we mentioned, though, there are other classes that start later during the semester and run for a shorter term, but things will be ramping up here tomorrow. It'll be very different than it is today, which is quiet.
Yes.
Yes, but exciting. One other thing I wanted to share that you shared with the audience at Convocation was this policy and performance analysis and how San Juan College ranks with other colleges in New Mexico. And this is pretty impressive, too, when we see this on the chart.
Yes, it's particularly impressive based on, you know, amid this pandemic.
Right.
So the Legislative Finance Committee published their recommendation recently. There were three volumes. Higher ed was included in the first volume, and it included a number of reports comparing the different institutions of higher education or reporting on their metrics. And one of them is fall-to-fall retention for first-time full-time students. It's important to realize that at San Juan College, the majority of our students are part-time. But this graph looks at first-time, full-time students. And if you'll notice, in fall 2018 to 19, our fall-to-fall retention was 57.1. Then it dropped to 54 in 2019-20. But, you know, the last couple years during the pandemic, it's actually grown. It increased 7 points to 61% and then increased again to 63.8 in the most recent reporting period of 20 to 21. And out of the independent community colleges in this comparison, we were the second highest. So we're pleased with that. Our rating is green, you know, from the LFC regarding this metric. So we're pleased that it's improving even amid the pandemic when we've had a lot of different challenges.
Right. And green is good. And there's also yellow and red on that graph. And so you want to be in the green. And San Juan College is one of just three schools in the green as we look at that graph. And as you mentioned, we rank second. I believe it's Luna Community College and Mesalands Community College are the other two in the green.
Yes.
On that list.
And Luna is basically 1 percentage point higher.
Right. Mm-hmm. But we're right on their heels.
Right.
So
we're right there.
There you go. But that is similar to kind of what we have seen with other metrics, I think, too, about retention rates and student success and things on that line that you've shared in previous years at Convocation and that you watch and I think a lot of folks here watch very carefully of how students are actually doing in their classes.
Yes, we all want to have, if our children or we decide to go to school, we want to make sure it's a good return on our investment and that we'll be successful. And that's why it's so important to us and our legislative delegation.
Right. Well, it's great that they can see that. And of course, this week the legislative session begins, the 30-day session in Santa Fe. So I know you'll be watching that carefully.
Yes.
Is there anything that you're particularly watching for? I think there's talk about maybe some salary increases for employees and things along that line and other funding thoughts coming or bills going through with the budget.
Yes, there's a couple of proposals that we've submitted recently on the Senate side to Senator Munoz. And one of them is called a teach-up proposal. And that is in partnership with Western New Mexico University. And it's kind of an out-of-the-box proposal. And we work very closely with our local school superintendents to draft this proposal. And it's kind of a grow-your-own or learn-while-you-earn model. The easiest way to explain it is kind of a job sharing. So many of our, in the state last year, they had about 540 vacancies among teachers statewide. This year, there's over 1,000.
Wow.
So the number almost doubled. And so I don't know if you could say it's in crisis mode, but it's pretty, there's a severe shortage.
It's heading in that direction at least.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, nationwide.
Sure.
That's the case as well. So we're not unique here in New Mexico. But what we're proposing is looking at four target audiences. primarily educational assistants and substitute teachers, also individuals that are in the what we call the Educator Rising program. Those are our future teacher clubs, and those individuals that are unemployed or underemployed. And the goal is, for example, is if you're an educational assistant in the schools, you could go to school in the morning, go to college, and in the afternoon you could work. And then another individual could work in the morning, you know,
swap.
Vice versa,
yeah,
swap.
Right.
And you would be paid the entire time and have benefits from your school district, and you could complete a degree. And we've tried to accelerate it where, you know, best case scenario, you could finish your bachelor's degree in 3 years. And we would make sure you have those, you know, you're already working in the schools, you'd have those experiences to graduate. And this, the proposal would provide funding to pay for your schooling.
Got you. And that sounds like it makes a lot of sense, because these folks are already in the communities, they already have a connection to the community, and they could then get this degree and then get a better job, I would assume, or a higher paying job with that school district or in that same community.
Yes, and they're already committed to that school district as well.
Right.
You know, they're employed as an educational assistant or a substitute.
Sure.
So they would just increase their pay. Or if you're not employed, you could get a job with them, and then that your school would be paid for.
Got you. And it almost sounds like it would, and maybe it doesn't guarantee a job once you're done, but it probably comes pretty close to it.
Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah, I would think so. Is there a nursing component too to this as well? I know teaching has been, we talked a lot about teacher shortages. There's a nursing shortage too, I think.
Yes, those are the two areas that our state legislators are really trying to work on and expand opportunities for those fields. And we also submitted a nursing proposal. And this proposal provides stipends to nurses so that they can complete. So at San Juan College, we have 100% pass rate on our, what we call our licensure exams for the past 5 semesters. So we know that our students do very well on those exams. They're very prepared. The problem is not all of our nursing students finish. And it's because many of them are working and have obligations. And so what we're proposing is that we provide them with a stipend. At one point, we were able to provide stipends to a small group of students, and they all finished. So we know that this kind of has a track record in place. So we're just asking if they would consider providing a monthly stipend to these nursing students while they're in school, because many of them do work to try and make ends meet.
Gotcha.
And, you know, nursing school is very demanding, and it's difficult to work and go to school.
Right. And that would allow them, I guess, to just focus more on their classes and their coursework than having to worry about going to work and coming back and then studying and whatever else it needs for their nursing degree.
Exactly.
Got it. Well, good luck. Hopefully the legislature will consider both of those proposals and move some of those forward. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is something that I think a lot of folks have noticed here on campus if they're driving by or coming onto campus for any reason, which is the major, major construction project, which is the student housing that is going up. It is planned to be completed sometime this spring, I know, and students to welcome students in for the fall semester later this year.
Yes.
Is that the plan?
We're very hopeful that the project will be completed by May.
Okay.
And then we'll get all the furniture and everything moved in, like you said, and move in our students this fall.
Very exciting. And this is a big deal and a big change for San Juan College. 150 beds, right? Is that
That's
the number?
That's correct. We're really excited about it. I think it'll change the culture here on our campus when we have people living here, you know, year-round, basically.
Right. That very, very true. And I know I enjoyed getting a chance to look at the proposals for the furniture for those rooms, because there were a lot of different designs and configurations and things like that that were on display earlier this past fall.
Right.
So they were fun to see. And I know the college has added a dean of students and other folks that will work with this new kind of new group who will be here, as you mentioned, all the time, almost 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As they live on campus, it becomes kind of a 24-hour community, if you will.
Right. We will have a residence director that will live on in the housing units. So.
Very good. And I was able to get a tour not too long ago. I'm sure you've been able to go over there and wear the hard hat and check it out. But it really looks inviting, and there's a lot of common spaces, but then there's a lot of private spaces in the rooms for the students. There's single rooms available. There are double rooms available. At least that's how it was explained to me, and that's kind of the plan.
That's correct.
Right?
There's a great room when you walk in with a see-through fireplace that you can see, and then there's a nice outdoor area. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it'll look great, and I'm sure there'll be some tours for the community once it's ready to go, probably over the summer once construction's done and before the kids move in.
Yes, and we plan to have a ribbon cutting and a nice grand opening so anybody can tour it.
Very, very exciting. Well, and this has been part of I know the college has been talking about this probably before both you and I got here.
Definitely.
For years and years, right? And studied
I found a memo that Dr. Henderson had written to a vice president and said, you know, we've looked at this long enough, I need a plan, and that was over 20 years ago.
So. Wow. Well, here it is. Mm-hmm. Bricks and mortar. It's going, it's being done.
Yeah, it's happening.
So. And so very exciting. That also leads to another question about, you know, over the summers and things along that line. I know that's also going to be part of the, I guess, mission to keep it full or make it available over the summers, maybe when there's not as big a demand from students, but maybe some training opportunities or other possible
camps,
options,
yes,
as well, right? And that would be part of the conversations that have yet to be made or are being made right now.
Yes, and we are very fortunate that both our Dean of Students and our Vice President of Student Services have extensive experience in housing. So we will lean on them to make sure that we have, that it's full and we don't have very many vacancies.
Right. And my favorite part of it, it's downhill to get to class. So I don't know if there's any other excuses to not be able to get to class at 8:30, but it's a downhill walk for those students to come to class.
Right. And then it's also adjacent to our Health and Human Performance Center. So that's a nice amenity.
Very, very true. Very true. Well, again, it'll be a big change, but an exciting change for the campus of San Juan College as we move forward. And we're just about out of time, Dr. Pendergrass, this morning. Is there anything else that you'd like to add for the start of the semester for folks who are listening and watching us this morning?
Well, if they're just interested in attending San Juan College, as I mentioned earlier, we have lots of course options. So even if they don't start on the first day, we have a lot of 12-week, 8-week, and 4-week offerings. So please come in and we'll help you out.
All right. Very good. It's always a pleasure to connect with you and visit with you about the college and the things that are ahead for all of us. So thank you for your time this morning.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome. That is San Juan College President Dr. Tony Hopper Pendergrass, my guest this morning here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.